on Seattle's original diehard sports station.
Throws up a three-pointer. It's good!
And your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four.
Got another one.
Sports Radio 950.
Two-handed pound down!
KJR.
I do it for the ladies, but I gotta keep it hood. Where we at, Polo?
Hey!
I see you, Ron. Yo, keep you was right.
Chuggabuck, back together here on this lovely Monday morning here in the PN Dub. Bucky Jacobs and Chuck Powell and Slick Hawk back from Vegas, full of stories. Papa Giorgio back here watching people go on heaters.
Yeah.
Probably you've got like a hangover-esque series of photos that you could share with us from your trip over.
Yeah, we had to delete them all, you know.
Yeah. We look at these one time.
Mm-hmm. And then they're gone forever.
All right, so where did we leave off?
So the most epic craps roll in history. Everybody who played walked away with thousands of dollars in
hour
chips.
And a half.
Yes, an hour and a half. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not propping it up for radio.
It's called loaded dice, and that guy's going to be in prison very soon. But go ahead with your cool little story.
So after that, he had been talking to my friend Tony because they're both Seahawks fans, and Tony's like, hey, do you listen to sports radio? You know, is it Slick Hawk? Oh, hey, Slick Hawk. Roll, roll, roll. Money, money, money.
And so he's introducing you while he's on
rolling, yeah.
If you guys would have disrupted his heater, you would have been murdered and laid in the back alley, by the way.
Yep.
If you would have shown up with all your Seahawk talk and thrown Mr. Heater off of his game, you would have had 12 angry gamblers put you in a dumpster.
Yeah, and you know what, though? What's even worse is my buddy Tony, who he had never played craps before the previous night. I had taught him kind of how to play. And so that's going on, and he turns to me, like, as he's going, he said, can you believe he hasn't crapped out? I'm like, don't say that! Oh, my God. It kept going, though.
Can you believe he's got a no-hitter?
Oh, boy.
But within, like, 5 feet of proximity to him. I'm like, what are you doing?
Just the fact that you're talking to him, you're violating so many rules.
Well, he started talking to Tony, though, so it was on him. So I was up to him because of the Seahawks connection.
Right.
So. At the end of the roll, he's got this mound of chips. He's like, let me cash this in. Hey, we're going to... Crazy night, man. We're going to go with a crazy horse. Come with us. So we proceed to follow them to the cashier's window and then ride out in front of the casino. His buddy, he has a buddy who actually lives in town. And so his buddy goes up to one of the limo drivers and says, hey... We need a limo. We're going to the Crazy Horse. We want it for free.
And for those that have just joined us, Slick Hawk is detailing one of the great stories from his last trip that he'll ever be allowed to take to Vegas. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
He's like, we want this limo for free. We're going to the Crazy Horse. He's like, you're not going to get it for free. He pulls him aside. I don't know what he said to him or what he slipped him, but 5 minutes later, we're all eight of us. There are eight of us in this party now on a party bus to the Crazy Horse. And we go there. He's like, we're going to go there. I know a guy. He can get us in. We'll sit VIP and everything. And me and Tony are kind of looking at us like, all right. Kind of rolling our eyes like that's going to happen. So we roll up in there.
Party bus to the Crazy Horse, by the way, is a movie. The title of a movie.
I'm going to rent it sometime.
Sound like it.
Well, we made the sequel. So he goes up to the bouncer. He's like, hey, this is the guy I know. I think he's in there. And the guy's like, you don't know him. He's like, no, really? And the guy's like, you guys aren't getting in. And so we kind of look at each other like, well, that's the end of the night. He pulls the guy aside. I don't know what he says to him or what he slips him. But 5 minutes later, the guy says, all right, everybody, pull out your IDs. Come this way. I'm going to take you to your private VIP booth. So we all walk past everybody up into the stairs, right into a private VIP booth where they bring, I guess they had a, I don't know what it is. They were selling us a buy one, get one free on bottle service, which is you get a bottle of vodka and a bottle of whiskey. And it was like Jack and some nice but not great vodka. The bill for that, $660.
For two bottles.
For two bottles.
That's and, New Vegas. That's why I moved.
And unlimited carafes of, you know, soda and juice.
Well, that's great.
And
$600,
so
you can drink all the OJ you want.
What a deal.
Yeah. That part our group did have to pay for. But Tim, the guy who rolled it and everything, he goes to his friends and says, all right, everybody, $100 on the table. So me and Tony go to pull out our wallets. He's like, no, these guys are with me. They don't pay. So we were like the VIPs of the VIP because we were with Tim.
All because of your Seahawk fan.
Because of the Seahawk fan connection. Because Tony was wearing a Seahawks hat and they're both season ticket holders. So we just are hanging back 5 minutes into the thing and we get our VIP group. I mean, there's almost a brawl that breaks out because one of the guys in the group was kind of, he's shining his cell phone light to look at the menu to see what to order.
Yeah.
And the group in the VIP booth next to us, the girl was like, hey, can you turn down the light? And he didn't hear it. He was kind of oblivious. So she repeats it. And then finally the guy she's with comes over. Hey, man, my girl told you to turn out the light. Why don't you be respectful? And which he didn't like too much. So they started getting each other's face. So
yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Meanwhile, Tim, who, I mean, he's the owner of a smoke shop, so chill guy, right? Yeah. He's like, he brokers the peace. He calms his guy down.
Boy, he apologizes. This guy's like a soothsayer. Like anything he whispers, everybody's all right with.
I know.
Whatever you say, Tim.
And so by the end of the night, like his friends had scattered to different champagne rooms or whatever. And he's like, I don't know where everybody's at, but I guess we're going to go. This is like an hour or two later. And my buddy Tony's like, wait, you've got all this alcohol that you guys paid for. He's like, drink it. So Tony and I just hung back, drank our fill. And we're like, okay, you're ready to, like 5:30 in the morning, ready to Uber back. We got games in the morning. And went back to the hotel.
I think it was Papa Giorgio.
We went on this crazy ride, did this whole trip, went to the Crazy Horse, paid for nothing. All because Tony had a Seahawks hat on, and this guy who's on the most epic craps roll of all time is a Seahawks season ticket holder.
Boy, it is the fraternity. It's a fraternity, Bucky.
Is it? The Seahawks fraternity?
Fans, yeah. That wouldn't happen to you if you're a Bronco fan. He might buy you like a Denver omelet. He wouldn't take you on a night on the town like that if you ran into a Bronco fan.
Probably true. Probably true. Then again, if I knew a weed shop owner in Denver, they might be a little bit more, you know, loose, if you will. You don't know what he's saying to him or slipping to him. I have an idea what he's slipping to him.
I don't know what it was, what he said, what
probably
he did.
Probably his loaded sticky, dice. Icky. Like, these loaded dice just won me $100,000.
Just take these O'Shea's.
There you go.
I let my buddies in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never rolls a 7 or 11.
Well, you got yourself a story, man.
I said I wanted...
On your very last trip to Vegas that you'll ever be allowed
to
take.
That's not going to be my last trip. She is very encouraging.
Yeah, they all
like,
are.
She was happy.
They're married.
She was happy for us. Like, I told her this story, and she's like, that is the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
She might be an exception. You're right.
She is. She's great. Stop it.
I'm not saying anything.
Maybe she is.
Yeah.
But I doubt it.
Stop nodding your head, I promise you.
At least you got a great story. At least you got a great story.
Hold on to that. I'd write it down.
Your last trip to Vegas ever.
That's not the case.
About her. Well, you might be able to go with her.
We are planning that too.
Okay. Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, next March. It's called March Madness. Yeah. And you won't be going to the Crazy Horse. You know what? There's something, though, about that O'Shea's, because that's my craziest gambling story as well.
Really?
Yep.
At O'Shea's?
At O'Shea's. It's that one that's on the strip, and it's old school. And then it opens out onto, like, Las Vegas Boulevard. So you can just, like, walk right into it and out of it. You know, and you get hit by that gust of stale, you know, cigarette smoke that's been soaked into the walls.
Yes.
Prior to cigarettes being outlawed, it's still soaked into the walls. And you walk in, and then that air conditioning blows crap out.
Yes.
And then you hit it on the way in and out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And anyway, I went there. I was meeting up with some buddies, so we don't always just go to Kansas City. So we had a little guy's weekend, but I'm getting ready to leave to go out there, and I'm in Arizona at the time, and my boss, who, by the way, is the same guy from my Seaside story.
Oh, man.
Yeah. my boss brought me in just like a little Friday meeting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, what do you got going this week? And I go, I'm going to Vegas. I'm hopping a plane in an hour. And he goes, oh. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out $5, just $5. And he goes, 26 black. And it was also a football connection for Rod Woodson. He was a big Steelers fan. 26 black. I'm like, all right. So I go out there first night. We're at O'Shea's. I don't know why we're at O'Shea's, but we're at O'Shea's. And I go up. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get this out of the way. And I go over to the roulette table. And I go, I put it right. I just put the money right there on 26 black. And spins it. Hits.
26 black?
26 black hits.
36 to...
And wow. So the guy, and by the way, everybody that deals at a casino hates their job.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy was miserable. And he doesn't even react. I mean, the eyebrow doesn't even work. He just pushes my chips to me. And that was it. Didn't say a word. Not like you hit. Nothing. Just pushes my chips to me. And then all of a sudden I pick him up and I leave. And then all of a sudden, Sleepy Boy goes, wait. And I went, what? Like, I thought I'd stolen something that wasn't mine. And he goes, where are you going? And I went, I'm leaving. I'm going to go cash out. And he goes, you just came down here and you put a $5 bill on one number to hit. You hit it, and now you're walking away? I'm like, yes.
Yep, you got it.
Why are you doing that? I said, because I had a buddy that told me to put it on 26 black. He didn't say keep playing afterwards.
No.
So I hit 26 black, and now I'm going to go get his money for him.
Yes.
And he goes, all right, well, this is a first. And he like yells it to everybody. Everybody, I've been dealing this for 20 years, and I have never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, this guy just hit 26 black, one number, and then walked away. Never seen that in my entire life.
Wow.
So I get back to Phoenix, do my show Monday morning, get done with the show, go down there, go slap $175 on my boss's desk. He goes, what the hell is this? I went, 26 black. He goes, no way. I'm like, yes. And he goes, and you brought it back to me. He goes, you know, I would have never known. And I went, well, now you've met the person with the greatest integrity of your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You hit 26 black.
Yes.
And yeah, so.
That's awesome.
Pretty impressive.
Wow.
I would have probably given him $100.
He gave me $100.
Oh,
yeah. That's cool. He only kept 75 of it.
Only.
He was more impressed with my honesty than his own. He goes, I've done that. To every friend of mine that's gone to Vegas, I've given him a $5 bill to bet 26 black. Because this is the first time any money's come back to me. He goes, so here, $100.
Nice. Yeah,
that's fun.
Pretty sweet.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is funny that you just walk away.
O'Shea's, man. Like, I don't know.
There's something magical about
Luck of the O'Shea's. Irish.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we should talk some college basketball. The Huskies have been ousted, and Duke nearly was. We'll talk about the two big games from yesterday next.
Well, in every state.
Wow! Now back to Chuck and Buck on Seattle's original diehard sports station.
Throws up a three-pointer. It's good!
And your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four.
Got another one.
Sports Radio 950.
Two-handed pounder!
KJR.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, how did it end up like this? It was only a kiss, it was only a kiss.
Chuck and Buck in the morning. And she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke. Monday coming off the NCAA tournament action. Just in the hallway with sales guy Jeff Antush talking about how weren't many close games over the weekend.
No, I was just looking at the scoreboard again, and there's a ton of them that were in the 70s to the 50s. It was like blowout city for the most part.
Now, the one game that we did get treated to was yesterday's Duke Central Florida game. And I'm sorry to say it, but clearly God's a Duke fan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blue Devils.
Yeah.
It's a little twist on
those two have a really interesting relationship.
That's true.
Yeah.
God and the devil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Was his number one angel.
They used to kick it.
Yep.
Not so much anymore.
They used to kick it. Well, they went to Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
And the devil was wearing a Seahawk hat.
Next thing you know, bus, free booze, there with me. Now we're leaving, drink our booze,
Let's
feel
just
free.
Say things happened. Things happened. everybody seemed captivated by that game. I mean, you're already probably tuning in because, number one, it was on the heels of, you know, for a lot of Husky fans, it was on the heels of the game with the most local interest. It was also Duke. It's also Zion Williamson. There was also a 7'7" center involved.
Oh, boy.
There was also the Coach K versus Johnny Dawkins kind of matchup, which for college basketball fans, you know how long that goes back in time. And then for that game to be so good and to play throughout, just kind of back and forth, and for Johnny Dawkins' kid, Aubrey, to play such a great game. I mean, he was outstanding. And to be there, to have that tip at the end, and it just roll off the lip of the rim. I mean, yeah, I'm sure people are out there protecting their brackets, and I'm sure people aren't done watching Zion Williamson blow out his shoes. But in terms of just, man, if you were looking for a Cinderella story to watch that team with that coach and that coach's kid and that 7'7" big man, I mean, that was the kind of Cinderella story that people can rally around.
Well, I liked what they did. Watching that 7'6" taco play is crazy and fun. But their game plan that they had, they posted him up protecting the rim, which is obviously something you're going to do when you have him. But the game plan that they had with him, with that team, was kind of like, all right, we're gonna be in, and we're gonna battle these guys. It ended up being, nail biter galore all the way down to the end. It was fun to watch. It's also fun watching Zion. I mean, that kid, sure, he might have got away with a block there on the guard as he's kind of going in for that one of those last second shots. But it's pretty impressive what he does too. So it was, all the way around. It's a pretty intriguing, fun game to watch, I thought.
Oh yeah, he's very impressive. It was. I'll say this. I mean, there are a lot of people like beating him up for the refs' calls in the game, and there was something to it. But I will give Coach K a little bit of credit because it didn't come too far after the game that it didn't pass his lips about how lucky they got to advance. And they certainly got lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, between the ball rolling off, between, Zion not getting called for the charge on that big ended up being 2-point play, but it resulted into 4 points. Barrett pushed off on the free throw that led to the game-winning shot. And I really do believe, it's like Shaq personified. I mean, Shaq used to always talk about, I don't get officiated the way everybody else does.
True.
Because the things that I do look like they're more impactful because of my size. And so people fall over when I barely bump them. And I get called for fouls where that kind of bumping takes place in every game and every down low at every level in basketball. But when I do it, it looks like a steamroller going over a Zagnut bar. Okay. So, and that same thing happened. I mean, those were officials that had never called a game with Taco Fall in it before. And I think maybe you've never called a game with a 7'7" center in it before. And you can't take your eyes off of him, and his limbs are going to be a little gangly, and his movements are going to seem a little odd. But the way he has to play in order for you not to whistle him with fouls, he has to play so carefully and so gingerly, like he's, carrying a Fabergé egg the entire time. Remember, like back in high school when everybody had to carry, the girls from home ec had to carry around, or guys, their egg.
Their baby.
Yeah, their baby egg, and they couldn't let it break. That's the way Taco Fall has to play every game because he knows he's foul trouble away at any moment.
Right.
And I think that they really miscalled the game from his perspective because his touch fouls are not normal touch fouls.
Yeah, and it's a drastic change. When he ended up fouling out, I mean, right there towards the end.
They didn't have any answers for him.
Yeah. No, they didn't have any answers. And all of a sudden, now you're like, oh, wow, if this goes into overtime, it's definitely advantage Duke at that point in time. And I just thought even down the stretch, it's going to give them a chance to creep back in it. And, inevitably they did. I mean, there was a push-off on that rebound that Barrett got to put the ball back in for the go-ahead score, I guess the game-winning score, inevitably. But, I mean, if you have Taco under there, it was right after he had fouled out. Or, you know, that was right after he had fouled out. And so, I mean, I don't know for sure if you get that offensive rebound if they have that monster underneath the hoop. So it's
well, they had to manage his minutes the entire game because of the foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, think about this. I mean, this is Zion Williamson, who people are describing as an athlete like I've never seen before. So in the mobile that is college athletics, he's the shiniest object in the mobile.
For sure.
Okay. And yet, in that game, he wasn't even the largest attraction. And I'm not talking physically. You couldn't take your eyes off of Taco.
Yes.
Like, Zion's out there at the three-point line.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take three-point shots. I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he refused to go in there or was scared to go in there. It just was strategically a better idea not to go in there.
Right.
So most of the time he sat out there and he was knocking down threes, which, by the way, shows more of his repertoire and shows you that he's not just a dunker, by the way. He's highly skilled. I mean, his another unbelievable left-handed full-court pass on the break that he pulled off yesterday. I mean, he's an incredible player. But there aren't going to be a lot of games Zion Williamson plays for the rest of his life where he's not going to be the one magnetic attraction.
Right, center of attention.
And that's the way it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I tweeted something out about it. It was crazy and awkward and fun and just overall fun, essentially, to watch that guy play. But I mean, as big as he is, he actually moved around fairly well. And to me, it was like I said earlier. I think that whatever their game plan was, and again, I mean, if I was a coach, I'm not a basketball coach. I'm far from a basketball genius. But if I had a guy that was 7.5 feet tall, I probably would, you know.
Probably pass him the ball.
Yeah, well, I'd pass him the ball, and I would then probably set up a defense that has him somewhere around the rim. You know, hey, yeah. Do me a favor, make it hard for these guys to shoot. Because, yeah, the most impressive guy in college basketball right now, I mean, the guy we've been talking about all year long, everybody in the nation's been talking about all year long, was second fiddle to some extent. I mean, he stepped up and made a really big shot, the one that he ended up fouling out on. But, yeah, Taco, that was impressive. Yeah. I enjoyed watching it. And usually you see guys that are 7 foot plus and it's like this frail, gangly look. You know?
That's the way. I mean, this isn't his first season.
No.
I don't even think it's his first tournament. I think he was in the tournament just last year. Yeah, I know he was. But the progress that he's made as a player, I mean, the last time that I watched him play, he was just the large guy in the middle.
Yeah.
He was just like the circus freak. You know, the bearded lady was playing power forward.
Oh,
and
wow.
Taco Fall was playing center.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite the attraction.
Yeah. I mean, it was that sort of thing where, like, if you have a 7'7" guy, I guess you got to put him in the lineup every once in a while. What he was yesterday was, like, part of the game plan. Like, the part of the game plan. And they didn't have an answer for him. I mean, he's getting those rebounds and just dunking it without jumping. And then the presence that he is on the defensive side of the court. I mean, look, this was not some fluke. UCF outplayed them.
Yeah,
should have won the game. And if not for all of those little things that happened down the stretch to Duke's favor, they'd still be alive right now. And maybe people don't want that, because I certainly want to see more Williamson. You know, I'd rather watch Zion play than Taco Fall. But nevertheless, that was our moment to have some sort of like special earned Cinderella moment that would have shaken things to their core in the NCAA tournament, which I think is what we live for with the NCAA tournament, moment like that.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely something. It was cool, even though it came up a little bit short. But, I mean, there is a lot of – I mean, I think – you know, Coach K ended up saying right afterwards, like you said, he said, you know, we got lucky. We squeaked one out. And him talking to the other coach afterwards, you could see that there was
there was some respect going on there. Like, hey, you had a great game plan. You know what I mean? We're supposed to be the best team head and shoulders in this country right now. And, well, you just took us to the wire, and we got lucky finding our way out. I'll say I like having
– Well, it's more than respect. Those guys are boys.
Yeah.
That was his first great player. That's Mike Krzyzewski. Johnny Dawkins helped put Duke on the map.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and then he's been longtime assistant. So that Aubrey Dawkins grew up like Mike Krzyzewski's like his uncle.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's out there beating the pants off of him.
Right.
Try this out, Uncle Legend.
How do you like this?
Yeah. How do you like these apples?
Wish I was a Blue Devil now, don't you? Yeah. But it was the battle back and forth gave me that, regardless of how the outcome essentially was, it kind of gave me that feeling that I'd been waiting for kind of the whole weekend, because there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of it. There's a whole bunch of, I don't want to say bad basketball, but just blowouts, plain and simple.
So. Well, yeah, and I think that was missing from the weekend. And that was the opportunity. That was certainly the game, and it might have been the moment of the tournament, but it ends up going Duke's way. And now that it has gone Duke's way, you're kind of glad. Now you get to keep watching Zion play. So the Blue Devils move on from it. North Carolina also moved on, winning over the Huskies. A little easier time for them. I thought the Huskies came out. They were battling in the first half. This is not a shot. I don't want it to be taken as a shot, but there seemed to me, and this is kind of in contrasting the two games, you got two nines taking on two ones. And two ones that, and they're not just your typical ones. I mean, these are like the two top programs in the sport, and their history and everything that goes along with it, their head coaches. But it was a little bit of a difference for me because, you know, even though they both battled and UW battled, there was a moment there early in the second half. Like, UCF had a terrible close to their first half. They were tied with like 2 minutes to go and ended up down eight by halftime. And that's not, you know, you come out in the second half, you get off to a slow start, game could be over.
Yeah.
They came back out and they were like, we're getting back in this. And they like battled. There was like, you know, we respect you, but you're not going, we don't respect you too much.
Right.
I almost think, I got this feeling that the Huskies may have like respected North Carolina too much. Like, you know, Mike Hopkins talks about, we're playing North Carolina in the NCAA tournament in the second round with a shot to go to the Sweet 16. How could life be any better than that? Well, if you build things up that way, all of a sudden, in the second half, North Carolina starts to pull away. And it just felt like for the Huskies, it was this, yeah, you're the better team, tip of the cap.
Right.
You know, good luck. With 17 minutes left to go in regulation. You know, I'm not saying it was a lack of effort. I think that there just was this feeling where UCF was like, F you.
Right.
Our season's on the line, too. We don't want to be done playing either.
Right.
Where with...
Show the doubters.
Yeah, where with the Huskies, there was like, yeah, you guys, you're better.
Yeah, well...
That's kind of the impression that I got.
I got that same feeling, and to me, it was one of those... I kind of feel like Washington, for the most part this season, knew who they were. They knew what kind of ball club. They're a defensive ball club, not all that good on offense. And to me, it kind of felt like it was real quick and in a hurry. First couple shots, Jalen Noel went down, were like bricks. They weren't even close. And then, so if your best scorer was starting off a little bit cold, and then the way that North Carolina started attacking them, just, hey, flip it in there to the dude at the top of the key, and he turns around and drops a, you know, 10-12 footer. I had to be one of those almost like, oh, both sides, because we're not going to rock and roll with a whole bunch of offense to keep up with these guys, and we most certainly aren't if our defense isn't, if they figure out a way to pick through our zone. And it was like right off the bat, to me, it seemed like, wow, these guys are doing what they want to us offensively. And we're not having our best day shooting, which is what we would need to keep up with these guys.
So, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's disheartening. Because, I mean, North Carolina is just one of those teams you got to play perfect, really, to beat them. And, you know, Washington, there were at times, there were stretches where they're playing really, really good basketball. They weren't able to maintain it for the whole game, but they didn't play, like, they weren't bad Washington. You know, they played pretty well, and so you go into halftime, and it's close enough. And so, you know, they probably come out with a brand new plan to feel like that could work, an attack and everything. And to come out and then for North Carolina to go on a run like that, I'm sure that was disheartening. And so it's kind of, there's probably some give up, like, it doesn't matter what we do. It seems like everything was two for one. Every one thing, good thing Washington did, North Carolina did at least two good things to counteract.
Yeah, well, you shoot 38% from the floor, and then you get out-rebounded 2 rebounds to 1. You know, that factors in. But, you know, I think that just their ability, and by the way, like, Coby White started out red hot, and he had like 4 threes for Carolina. And then all of a sudden he didn't stop shooting, but it didn't become as big of a factor going forward. And I even wrote down, like, why are they not going to White? Why are they not setting him up? The dude's on fire. I mean, I think he hit 4 of his first 5 threes, and 80% is a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, that's good.
For basketball. And yet they seem to settle in with Luke May. And then as the game progressed, you kind of understood why Roy Williams was doing that. He wasn't going to run the offense through a three-point shooter. He was going to run the offense through the guys in the post going up against the zone. And, man, it was refreshing to see because I spent an entire weekend watching teams design out-of-bounds plays to shoot threes rather than get an easy layup. And it's like, what happened in this sport? Why do we stop taking twos? There's a reason why... You take twos, they're higher percentage shots.
Closer to the basket.
But the whole sport's turned into threes, and yet North Carolina was like, no. They're allowing us to dump it in, and it opens up so many things for us. Not only a good look at the basket, but also crashing down on the sides, potential to kick out for the three. And we're closer for offensive rebounds, which they dominated throughout the entire game. So, yeah, I actually think that was the number one key of it all. May and Little just dominating the interior. And Roy Williams recognizing that even though the game has evolved to we have to shoot 43s to justify our existence in this world, guess what? The two-pointer still counts. It hasn't been made illegal. So why not take the high percentage two-pointer rather than settle for threes the entire game? And they still hit 40% of their threes in the game. They just only took 21 of them because, again, I know it seems crazy, seems so old school, seems so get off my lawn, but if you're going to give us twos, we'll take twos.
Yeah, we'll take a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Because even when they missed, I mean, those two guys, Little and May, that you mentioned, they had enough rebounds between the two of those guys. They had just about as many rebounds as the entire UW team. So it was one of those, we're going to take our two-point shots, higher percentage we make them, and even if we don't make them, we're going to get the rebound and have a good chance at putting in it for a second half point or you know, second try point. So it's, man, it was an unfortunate way for that season to kind of end with a thud like that. But, I mean, I think that they were somewhat right to kind of resign themselves, because I don't know for sure if they had it in them to play the game in a way to stop them offensively or to keep up with them offensively on their own end. I don't think there was a way that they could have kept up with them, to be honest.
81-59 the final. So North Carolina advances. Husky season comes to a close. At the end of the day, it was a good season. It was a fun season. It was a necessary season as Husky basketball kind of redirected by Mike Hopkins here in the last couple of years, showing tremendous growth in a short period of time. I think the future is bright under Hopkins, and I think that this recruiting class that he has coming in shows that one thing that's been missing from Huskies basketball is sustainability, avoiding that long drought in between tournament appearances. Well, under Mike Hopkins, I think that problem is solved. I sure hope so. Because it's fun having the team involved in the NCAA tournament. All right, coming up next, we've got one last thing to close out our Monday edition of
We'll go for details. Staples.
Chuck-a-Buck, one last thing here on a Monday. Slick Hawk, who came back with stories.
Yep.
Bag of wiener pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you came back with those?
Well, no, I mean, I'm endorsing Blue Chew now, so that's fun. Didn't bring them back from Vegas.
Yeah. It is fun?
It's fun.
Did you take them down?
It's fun.
It's fun. take them down. No. Did not do that.
Okay. All right. So I'm not saying you'd have to go down and do something wrong. Maybe you'd like to walk around Vegas with, you know.
Right.
You know, ready to rock and roll. Not to do anything, but.
Right. Just be in the state.
Yeah, just be in the state. You know, walk around with sweatpants.
Sure.
On. Figured you'd have them like in a Pez dispenser or something like that.
Just.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. No, doesn't work that way.
That's not what happened.
Or like a coin dispenser, like on your belt loop.
Oh, hey, wow.
Anybody need one?
Just drop a couple. There you go.
Yeah. Blue Chew?
Yeah. Or like, it's like birdsy, you know. Yeah. So if you're, you know, feed the geese.
Jeff?
Papa Giorgio?
Papa Giorgio!
Blue Chew?
Tim? Hey, how you doing?
Tim? Blue Chew?
Great roll, Blue Chew?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Should have dated that dude that took you in the limo or the party bus or whatever. Should have traded him a handful of Blue Chews for his loaded dice.
His loaded dice. Man,
that's some people call the exact same thing.
Loaded dice?
Yeah, loaded Blue dice. Chew. Blue Chew.
The dealers didn't like him so much. I mean, they were having to do a lot of work and everything, but like he had rolled, and you got to realize there were stacks and stacks and stacks of chips, and so it was almost impossible to avoid. I mean, you know, it's like Monopoly when everything has a hotel. So he rolled, and one time he knocked over one of the stacks of chips, and like they were side eyeing him, like they were like they said something like, yeah, it's like way to be a freaking jackass, like. They said something to him.
They're not the happiest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be either.
One of my very good friends is a craps dealer in Vegas, and he hates every second that he's there. But you would be, too, if you dealt not just with the public, but drunken gambling public.
Yes.
Every second of every day.
Oh, I believe it.
Tourists.
Who get angry because idiots. They lose their money.
Yeah, they yell at them.
Yeah. So
come on, man.
You develop a crust.
Oh, really?
And it doesn't take very long.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. All right, what do you have for one last thing there?
My one last thing is something that's never happened before. And in sports, that's such a rare thing because, I mean, history repeats itself and trends and all that. We see things happen over and over again. But for the first time ever, somebody through the first two rounds has a perfect bracket. One person, perfect bracket all the way to the Sweet 16. So we've got, 8, 12.
Wait, you mean one person in the world or one person?
In the world.
Okay.
Has a perfect bracket.
Is this the one through Yahoo?
It is through, I think it's through CBS.
Okay, so guys, there was a guy, I think, on Yahoo who had gone, once Auburn won, he'd gone the furthest.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the history of Yahoo had gone with a perfect bracket, so I don't know if it continued after that or not.
It might just be on NCAA.com, but it's one of those. I mean, it's a bracket contest, and he's in there. He's got a perfect bracket so far.
Well,
so,
if there was a year to do it, it would be this year.
I mean, he's got past the most difficult stretch, I would think. His final four is Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Virginia. Which is doable, and
he has
Gonzaga winning the championship over Kentucky.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, can you imagine?
It's apparently like a trillion to one.
Oh, it's got to be. 65 games, right? Yeah. 63?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah. And all we're giving away is a pair of tickets to a sporting event for that?
Any sporting event in the world.
Yeah. Like spinning championships in Norway, you said.
Yeah, well, whatever.
What do you want?
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Yeah.
Pick what you want. That's pretty impressive.
Bucky, you got one last thing?
Did you guys see Johnny Manziel playing the AAF, the Alliance?
I did not see it, but I did hear of it.
Yeah, beat your Birmingham Iron. Actually, he didn't. He didn't really start. Came in for I don't know who.
We're just gearing up for the playoffs.
That's the Iron Arc?
Yeah.
Are you even making the playoffs?
Pretty sure we are.
Pretty sure we're dominating.
I think the Iron are kind of on a slide right now. They're
never missed the playoffs in the history of their organization.
I don't know what life would be like without making the playoffs.
Well, no. The Iron are 4-3. There's 1 week left. They're not going to win their division. I know that. And I don't know how the tiebreakers and seeding works.
Well, that's probably because my Apollos are amazing.
Maybe you should stop doubting whether they're going to make the playoffs if you don't even know the rules.
Yeah.
I thought you were a Stallion now.
What are the rules?
Well, Salt Lake.
I don't know what I am.
Do they even have a playoff?
I would assume there are four playoff teams, and the Eastern and Western Conference sends the champion, which would be the Apollos and the Commanders, and then two wild cards. That's what I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Championship or bust for We Iron fans.
We don't really settle
anything for anything less.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty understandable, man. The Iron there. they're really something else. Dominant.
No, I did not see Johnny Manziel.
It wasn't all that. Anyway, he didn't start, came in, ran one for like 13 yards. I think he finished like 3 for 5 and couple rushes. So it wasn't anything special, but he did talk trash like the normal Johnny Manziel.
There you go.
So
I would see back. Why. He's got so much to brag about since his college days.
Yeah, he does.
3 days away from the start of baseball season, so for the next couple of shows, we certainly will be counting down the days toward that and actually give a legitimate Mariners kind of preview week to the season.
Nice.
That we got a lot of that planned for you during the course of our broadcast week together. But that'll do it for us today. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. I think it's Cliff and Puck back together today.
Terry Blunt, I think, is Terry Blunt today. Yep.
Okay, Terry Blunt?
And Cliff, I'm sure.
Terry and Cliff, they're coming up next. Keep it here, Sports Radio 950.
TV, scratch food served by the best-in-class Twin Peaks girls. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Get all the details at sportsradiokjr.com.
In every state.
Hey, I just got back from Vegas. Let me tell you, when I was walking around there, you see a couple guys kind of moping around the sports book or moping around the strip, and I'm like, "Why? You're in Vegas. Why are you bumming?" I can almost guarantee you, if they were using Blue Chew, they wouldn't be bumming. Man, they would have perked right up. Let me tell you, Blue Chew offers men a performance enhanced room for the bedroom. So, for instance, if you'd like to last longer and go extra rounds, Blue Chew is exactly the kind of thing that can help you out. It's the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. The good news, chewables can actually work faster than pills, up to twice as fast, because when you're ready, you want to be ready. And you can take Blue Chew on a full or empty stomach, and it's cheaper than those other two. So, BlueChew.com, you go there, you fill out a quick form online. There's no doctor visit, no awkward conversation with the nurse Peggy, who knows exactly why you're there, no waiting in line with the pharmacy. No, they're going to ship it directly to your door in discreet packaging. Blue Chew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. But you can check it out for yourself. Here's a great deal. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code KJR. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code KJR.